Broderick couldn't do it because he was Alpha and would need to calm down the rest of the family after Alec was dead. As the youngest, Mason was expendable, at the bottom of this family's little pack. The feline slipped out of Mason's hold, turned around, and sank every one of his front claws into Mason's stomach, ripping it open. Mason's yell mixed with a howl as his full wolf took over. His reason faded as the crazed battle beast inside him rose, and he went for the kill. Mason barely heard the noise just inside the doorway, but a second later, Broderick was tumbling him out of the way. There was a soft bang, a thunk, and the feline let out a cat shriek that bored into Mason's brain and stayed there. The feline's scream died to a whimper. He collapsed in a tangle of limbs and tail, his green eyes half closing as his breathing wound down into that of peaceful sleep. Mason dragged his head up. In the doorway stood Joanne, Broderick's mate, her hair sleep-tousled, her nightshirt dragging down one shoulder. She peered over the barrel of a trank rifle, eyeing Alec to make sure he stayed asleep. Broderick shifted back to his human form. His underwear had torn off in his change to wolf, and he now stood up, in the state and Cora called, butt naked. The butt in question too much in Mason's view.
"Thank you, sweetheart," Broderick said breathlessly.
Joanne smiled back at Mason's brother, very much in love with the dirtbag. The little protrusion in her belly was the obvious symbol of that love. Aunt Cora, in a hot pink bathrobe with bunnies on it, popped around Joanne and took in the scene.
"Thank the goddess," she said. "Mason, you all right? Mason!"
Mason felt himself shifting back to human. He lay against the wall, unable to move, his stomach raked open and gushing blood.
"Don't worry," he tried to say, but it came out all slurred.
The rest of the word faded, as did the room, and Mason slid into oblivion. The good thing about having a half-shifter, half-fey lupine with healing powers in this shifter town was not only that she lived close by, but also that she was gorgeous. Might be the painkiller she had given him talking, but Mason didn't mind looking his fill as Andrea Gray stitched up his wounds and sank her healing magic into him with the brush of her fingers. So what if she was already mated to Shifter Town's guardian? Mason had no intention of touching the woman. She was a distant member of Mason's clan in any case. But he could at least enjoy the beauty of her while she worked. For some reason, though Alec had attacked him, everyone was pissed off at Mason. Alec, finally waking from his tranked state, had been calm, his feral nature temporarily tucked away. He couldn't remember much, but he was pretty sure Mason had gone for him first, and Alec had instinctively retaliated. Mason, groggy from the painkillers, could only mumble in his defense. Nancy, Alec's mate, had glared at Mason and asked why Mason couldn't accept that Alex was ill and to leave him alone.
"Gotta save me."
Mason's room was a wreck, and there was no extra bedroom in this effing house for him to move into. No extra bed, period. He had to lie on the couch in the living room downstairs while Andrea sewed him up, which annoyed his three older brothers because they wanted to watch basketball. Shifters had grown used to living in close quarters after being shoved into shifter towns. But this house was just getting stupid. Mason and his three brothers lived there with Aunt Cora, who kept them in line. Then Broderick had rescued Joanne's sister, Nancy, and had dragged home Alec, her mate, a feline pretty far gone into the feral state. Broderick had let them both live here so that his mate, Joanne, who also lived here now, would be happy. Someone should have put Alec out of his misery a long time ago, in Mason's opinion. But then Nancy and her unborn cub would be grief-stricken, Joanne would be upset that her sister was unhappy, and Broderick would be